This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hi, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Welcome back to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. I am Jen, and with me is my awesome, wonderful friend and co-host, Miss Tiff.
Quite the introduction, Jen. Thank you.
It's all truth. It's all truth. I think it all the time. I just maybe don't say it in quite that way. But
well, maybe you could just walk around with me, and when I'm having a bad day, you could just whisper those things in my ear.
Or be your hype. I'll be your hype man to everybody.
Yeah,
that would be. Know this girl.
That would be good. I need some hype people in my life.
Me too.
We all do. Everyone, this is your challenge. Be a hype girl, guy for your friends. Do that. Because everyone needs it. Everyone needs encouragement and cheerleaders in their life. So
I'm telling you, that's
send
important.
Out a message to someone and encourage them today.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love encouragement. I feel like that is one of the gifts that I have, is a gift of encouragement. And yeah. I get such a charge out of encouraging people and trying to look at the best in them. And it's something that I've learned about myself and I embrace. So yeah.
Yeah.
Encouragement is a great gift.
Me too. And I think that I used to be a cheerleader, and I feel like that was a good sport for me, because I have definitely taken that into my adult years, just cheering people on, like, and authentically, like really cheering them on. So.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you said inauthentically, like as in not authentically. It was like, what?
Oh, no.
And then you were like, no, authentically. I was like, oh yeah, okay.
That would be bad. Like, not really. I'm not really cheering them on. It's all make-believe.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. So I have kind of two things to talk about today. One is just kind of like a hint, that really struck me today on how to pray. So I'm kind of going through a struggle.
Okay.
As of the last couple of weeks, and as I was having my quiet time today, which basically consisted of me being on my face before God for like 20 something minutes.
Wow.
Just in worship. And towards the end of that, as I'm just in worship and just really in adoration, I started thinking about the names of God. And the names of God, of course, are his character and how he acts and what he does and who he is. And there's lots of really, really great, he has really great names. There are lots of them. And it, like I said, it speaks to his character. And I was just reminded this morning of praying the name of God for your particular need that you might have in any given moment. So this morning, my prayer was praying Jehovah Shalom, which is God, my peace, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, that, I don't know why I've never really thought about, I've praised the names of God. I have confessed the names of God, but have I like prayed the names of God? Like, I don't know that I have in that kind of way, but it just kind of struck me as this big epiphany. Like, of course, he's got us really covered in all of our, with all of our needs. He has a name that kind of corresponds with that. And, and we're never without that. So
yeah,
that just felt like a, have you prayed the names of God? Have you thought about a character trait of God and how it applies to your need?
I've actually done like a little name study personally before of God, because weird fact, Tiffany, the name Tiffany means manifestation of God. So
oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was a little much for me at first, because As just this big personality, sometimes I'm humbled by the Lord because I need a good humbling occasionally.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
So I didn't like when I found out my name was that because that was really big. And as someone who tends to put my Messiah britches on from time to time, I was just like, I don't want to be putting myself on that level. I don't like that. But I did this name study as just part of like healing my identity because our goal is to be more like him, right? And so what I did was, well, if this is my name and this is what it means, what characteristics of his name and who he is do I have? So that was pretty cool just to really, really dive into each one of his names and just really who he is. So, just like a kind of a goal. Here's where we're trying to head, in the way of like being more like him as much as we can, obviously, this side of heaven. So.
Yeah, for sure. But even in it, like the other side of that too is like just getting to know his character and understanding who he is through his names and
Yeah.
just really thinking about, oh my gosh, like he is, our banner, our healer, our peace, our righteousness, our sanctifier, our shepherd, our maker. He is the holy God. He is the strength of our life. He is our refuge. Like I literally have this sheet. I wish you listeners could see this, but I have this sheet with about a billion names of God and scripture reference. And
Wow.
it's mind-blowing all of his characteristics and how great they are. Like when I have felt unsafe, I've thought about him being the Lord of hosts. And host is army. He's the Lord of an army, heavenly army. Like you think about him being a general, a commander. Like he's sending his soldiers out to do his goodwill. So yeah, anyway,
Yeah.
it just felt like an epiphany today, like, oh, I should absolutely be praying. Knowing what my need is, finding the name of God that corresponds with that, and really just praying that. And so for me today, it was Jehovah Shalom because I needed peace. I
Yeah.
needed peace.
Well, and that's so interesting, and just a way of like, even as I was praying as in before the podcast, I never call God like Great Shepherd. And that's just something that never comes out of our mouth or my mouth. And I know he is our shepherd, but I ask him to be our shepherd
Yeah.
for this podcast tonight and lead us. So that just kind of hit me like, oh, like this really, if we open our mouth sometimes and pray, he really is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one interceding and praying for us if we allow that, because that's nothing I've ever said in a prayer that I've said out loud or in my head ever before. So, very interesting topic. I didn't even know you were going to talk about this, Jen. So, and here I am calling him, inviting a great shepherd to come in tonight. So,
Right. Yeah.
very interesting. How cool is God? God is cool.
He is cool. That should be another one of his names. Cool.
He is
Because
cool.
he is cool. He is
Yeah.
cool.
Yep.
And then it kind of led into the thing I was going to talk about, but this came, of course, first in my
Yeah.
head, but was I was at a place, at a ministry where I got to help with a devotion. And the question was posed to me, have you in your Christian life ever had a moment where you were devoid of hope? And I thought that was kind of an interesting question to be presented. Had I
Yeah.
ever been devoid of hope? And I think there are moments where we feel hopeless in a moment, maybe hopeless in a situation, but to really be devoid of hope to me feels like a really big thing. Like, has there ever been that? And I said, yeah, very specifically, I recall early in my Christian walk how I felt like an orphan in the child or in the house of God. Didn't feel like a child of God. And I was devoid of hope for a lot of my Christian walk. And then I said, and let me share with you a little bit of my story. And I talked about the fact that my father was an unmedicated schizophrenic, and I led with that. And I happened to know that one of the individuals in this group is medicated.
Okay.
Borderline schizophrenic. And I was like, it felt like such a beautiful moment in some ways of, I almost felt like I was talking to someone that my dad could have been.
Yeah.
And it felt like there was so much weight and beauty in that moment to be able to talk. And I made that delineation too of my father was unmedicated. If you are medicated, it's great. Like that's, you know, it's just like having diabetes. You just, you know, you have a different kind of illness. You take the medication for it. It's great. And it helps you be stable. But I just made sure that they understood as I was sharing a little bit of my story that my father was unmedicated. Therefore, his mental illness ran rapid. And therefore, he was chaotic at times. So.
Yeah. Wow. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really is just the testimony of God really using our mess as a message in all things. Like, you know, we talk about our stuff and podcasts and books and things like that, but just the everyday, you know, humans and people and friends we run into, to be able to really just share something and encourage them. Like, it's beautiful how God turns everything around.
It was like a redemption moment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you said, turn it around. Because it was like me thinking of me talking to what my father could have been was like, wow, Lord, that's heavy. I mean, that had so much weight to it. But also thinking about how would it, had my father been sitting there, like what a cool moment would that have been to be able to have that kind of moment with my dad that I never got to have. And yeah, I don't think I ever let my mind, prior to me really forgiving him when he was dying in the hospital, I never let my mind go to like what he could have been. Like if he had not been so destroyed by mental illness, like what kind of person could he have been? Had he have been treated and just been a regular guy, like what could life had been like for him? But since I walked through that forgiveness with him, I can think about that with like, it's kind of like a bittersweet moment, but I can look at someone who abused me so badly and think about them with, I don't know, wonder,
right.
Maybe not, I don't know, not wonder, like as in like being in awe of someone, but just,
yeah,
curiosity, like, I don't know. Is that making sense at all?
Yeah, because it's kind of like you had to grieve in steps. Like you had to grieve his death and his presence no longer being here in some ways. In some ways, there was some sort of closure, but also you were grieving what could have been and who he had the potential to be. So I think that makes perfect sense. Or grieving, I think people do that, like when people leave, and grieving life events that the person missed, like you missed my wedding, or you didn't get to walk me down the aisle, or you didn't, you know, there's all kinds of things that we just have expectations for and they never happen. So that's a loss, you know, and I think that's probably a normal part of the grieving process. So yeah, it makes sense to me.
And I think too of the forgiveness process, because when you're really, when you're rightly so angry with an abuser,
yeah,
in whatever form that abuse has come, it, your anger almost becomes your shield. And then when you no longer have that and you could look at that person,
oh yeah,
with compassion and forgiveness, then I think you can get to those places of really grieving the loss of that.
Yeah.
It was always really hard for me to process the loss of my dad, even while he was alive, because I was so angry and I always had to protect myself so much. I could never get to that vulnerable moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there had to be, you know, we talked a little bit boundaries beforehand, but there had to be those walls.
Right.
Unfortunately, not even, you know, fence posts. Like, it had to be strong walls because of the hurt and pain that you had history and experience of. So those walls were part of your, you know, just being in survival mode and protecting yourself. But when we have those giant walls up, also that leads to not being able to come to a compassionate, forgiving space, you know. So I think we all do that, maybe not to that level, because that's quite a story in its own, but we all have some person we know that just makes us feel ooey, and we have to be a little bit more careful. They're not safe, you know. So
right.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
That's good. Well, then getting back to that original question, aside from that little thing that happened, yeah, with me, like almost being able to think about talking to what my dad could have been, have you ever had those moments where you have felt hopeless in your Christian walk? Like, I'm not just talking about, like I said, moments or situations feeling hopeless, but moments where you've just been devoid of hope as a Christian. And how did you process that?
Absolutely. I wish that I could tell anyone, especially if there's any people in our audience out there who don't know the Lord. And, you know, I wish I could tell those people that after you know and come to your salvation with the Lord, that everything is just going to be fine and dandy. Well, that is just not true. You know, he even says in his word that that's not true. So there's been many times in my life, and most of the time I was led to a place of no hope by circumstances. Because for me, I'm like, all in, passionate, will believe and have hope kind of gal to everything. There's been quite a few times, but one time that I feel like I can openly share about is when my second husband George was diagnosed with leukemia. Well, you know, everyone around us he kept getting rid of the leukemia and they kept coming back. So people around us were dropping and losing hope, and you could see it in the doctor's eyes. You could see it, you know, in your friend's eyes. But here I am in hospice, because we had made it to that point with, well, I was in the hospice, but George was in hospice. And I had a woman who was our nurse basically hold on to my shoulders and shake me a little bit as I was still holding on to hope, like, it's in God's hand, anything could happen still. And she shook me and just like was like, you just need to understand that your husband is going to die today. And literally it was like her mission, and let's be clear, it probably wasn't her mission, it was probably the enemy's mission, was to suck every ounce of hope that I had held on to for all those months out of me and take me by the shoulder and shake me out of hope. And it was so painful. And so I quit fighting at that point. Not that I could have changed the scenario, but I had made a commitment that I was never going to say goodbye, basically, to George, that we were going to fight and keep fighting, and we weren't going to stop fighting. And we both kind of had made that commitment. But later on that evening, as he had became unconscious and things were obviously looking really bad, I let them know that it was okay to go. And I'm glad I did that. That was a special moment for us. Like, it was just within a couple hours, he actually did take his last breath after that. But she, her mission was to make sure that I had no hope left. And so I don't work well without hope. And I know, I'm sure no one works well without hope, but it's just such a part of me and keeps my passion and flame burning. So for me, like, it just steals my identity. Like, it literally takes who I am away, because without that hope, then what am I, fighting for, So that's the biggest moment. There's been a couple of other moments that are other people's stories that I can't share as openly. But there's been quite a few times in my life where I have felt at a place with no hope, but the Lord doesn't leave me there long, thankfully, that he sends an army or just gives me the peace and comfort as I'm pleading with him for it. So he doesn't leave me there long, but it's definitely been there. It's, yeah. So I would love to meet a Christian that, hasn't even had a fleeting moment without hope. That would be amazing. It would be amazing, because, maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I mean, I know there are people that have professed that, I don't know, they look outwardly one way, but we're in good company with, like, Paul, who said, like, when he was in the province of Asia and the pressure there was so intense, it says that they despaired even of life. And that's Paul the Apostle, who wrote almost like all of the New Testament. I mean, big chunk of it anyway. And he's a father of the faith. And so when you encounter people that won't talk about those moments where they have been devoid of hope because they think it might be unchristian to have that outwardly, I think about Paul and him saying that we were under such pressure, it was far beyond our ability to withstand, and we despaired even of life. Like, that's a pretty heavy, couple of verses where he's talking about just how bad it was and how despair had settled in there. And yeah, I think that if we admit that we are in those moments as well, I mean, we're in good company. I think that's a very normal thing.
Absolutely. And I think, our dependency on the Lord grows so strong in those moments. Like, God uses those moments. I would not have such a strong dependency and a deep intimacy with the Lord without those moments, because he literally was the only one who has been able to pull me through. No man could pull me through those moments. It was him. And so my dependency, that's where I run, because he's the only one that can fix it anyway.
Amen. So true. So I guess I've never really thought about it like this, but how did I find my hope again? Or how did you find your hope again? Like, what was the thing that really woke you up? Was it just processing to getting to the beginnings of hope again? I mean, for me, when I think, like, when I was talking to this group earlier today, I said the thing that helped change me to wake me up was learning who I was in Christ, and that gave me hope. But that was exactly what I needed in the hopeless situation in which I was. So, because my hopelessness was due to not feeling or understanding my identity in Christ, your hopelessness was different situation, but.
Well, yeah, and that was a longer process, because my hope really was in the Lord in that situation to heal George. I mean, I thought with every ounce of my being that he would heal George, that there would be a miracle. So that was a long process, and even this year, there's been times where I'm triggered with like someone's disease or whatever else that I don't fully trust him in that way. And we've came a long way, and that's why he gave me Jeremiah 29:11 initially anyhow, because there was times where I was not only I not only had fear of the Lord, but I was terrified, in a way of like, oh my gosh, if I pray, it's just going to kill that person. So obviously these were all lies and things I had to process through, and then throw a heavy dose of grief of losing your husband on it. There, it was a that part of my life was a long journey of finding hope again. And that came through just growing my dependency on the Lord. It came through new relationships with my husband now, and new excitement again, and a family, and more children. Like, so he was just gentle and blessed me more than I had ever could imagine coming out of such a dark space. I mean, I say this often, and I said it in my book, but I literally thought when I buried George, I thought my dreams of ever being a mom again were buried in the ground. And so much so that I thought I was done with relationships. I put my name on the tombstone. That was literally my hope of another marriage or, being a mom again was buried in that ground, as far as I knew. So all of this, where I'm at now, is just his goodness and grace. And miracles in my life, because never did I think that I would be blessed with this sweet family that I adore and love now. So
Oh yeah.
now I'm gonna get all mushy and cry.
Know what I find amazing through that whole thing that you went through was you were pretty new in your faith. You're
Very new.
baby Christian going through the death of a spouse and like just standing in faith, such a strong faith for being so young in your faith. You know what I mean? It
Yeah.
just mind blowing.
Well, I definitely got like a PhD very quickly. Like he like catapulted me into dependency, because it was 2 months or a month prior that he got his diagnosis that I was saved. So, and he was actually became a believer during the leukemia. So, we definitely got catapulted into our faith and really leaning on him quickly, because we had there was no other way. That was our solid hope, so.
Well, here's a curiosity question. Did you ever change the tombstone? Did you ever get your name removed off of it?
No, it's still there. I don't know what that looks like or how you go about that. Yeah,
I
that's a
was
hard
just curious because you mentioned it and I was
one.
like, well, if I was listening to this podcast, that would probably be one of my questions. Like, did she ever get her name off of that?
I will be buried with my current husband,
Correct, I'm
obviously, but
sure. Yeah.
yeah, my plot is paid for, and it's very strange. So, that's something I've not really thought about, because it's different. It's a weird situation. You don't hear a lot of people talk about something like that. So, good question, and I think I'll be processing that one, because yeah.
But you know what? It speaks so much to, like, that's a testament from God. Like, you in that moment felt like your life would never change, that you'd lost your hope in having
Yeah.
children and your spouse is in the ground. You're not thinking about ever marrying again.
Yeah.
And yet, but God
Yeah.
stepped in and said, "Hey, Tiffany, I got you this wonderful man, and look, you're
Yeah.
going to have three more little kiddos who are just the most happy, fun little kiddos ever. I adore them. And, you know, you're married to this man who has provided for you such a wonderful life. And you guys, do you know what I mean? Like, you guys just even came back from this really great vacation. You guys get to share those kind of moments. Your life is completely different. And
I couldn't have dreamt in. I couldn't have dreamt in. Yeah.
You couldn't have been told. Yeah. You couldn't have been told in those moments where you're making your tombstone that God was going to do something different, even though you had a faith in him. It was just that deep of a hopelessness. Yeah. So. Yeah,
absolutely. And the crazy thing is George and I had the opportunity to have talks that most, you know, husband and wives never have because of the severity of the situation. Like, we had to have all the talks, like, because that was it. And we, you know, felt that. So he actually had told me one time, he said, "I want you to get remarried within the year." And so, and I, at that time, I just giggled and laughed at him. I'm like, that's not going to happen. I have no interest in that ever again. And so, but my husband and I actually started our relationship about at that year marker. And so, just so strange. Never, obviously, as I'm fighting with this man for every breath, would I've ever thought, you know, a year later, I would begin having hope of a family again.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. God is good, though.
He is good. Yes.
So, well, it's been good to, it's been a good conversation about the names of God and from hopeless situations to hope and how God has walked us through that. So,
and friends, we want to know, have you ever been in a situation or just in a space where you have felt just no hope and hopeless? So let us know. And how did you pull yourself out of it? Because
love to hear that.
Yeah, we and our audience, we need all the help we can get when we are, because now, you know, it's easier now. It's those, we have the evidence. We've talked about this before, that God will pull us through. We have that evidence now, but, you know, it's easier now, but we could always use more ways to be encouraged out of hope quicker.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right, guys, we will talk to you next time.
Yeah, and it'll be after Christmas. So
hope you all
have a Merry Christmas. And this might go out right about the New Year. So
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. And we'll be excited. Maybe we'll do that about our next podcast, talk about what we are thinking for 2023. So.
Oh, yeah. I have a yearly rhythm that would be fun to talk about.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Bye, friends.
See you guys.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.